to the UK, where Liz Truss has addressed the Conservative Party conference for the first time as party leader. In the face of a turbulent few weeks, she came to the podium pushing a new approach and insisting that it was necessary to do things differently.
The scale of this challenge is immense. War in Europe for the first time in a generation. A more uncertain world in the aftermath of COVID. And a global economic crisis. That is why in Britain we need to do things differently.
Her speech comes as a new row over how much welfare benefits should increase by divides senior members of the party. The Times journalist, commentator and former Conservative MP Matthew Paris watched the Prime Minister's speech and he joins us now on RM Breakfast. Matthew, thank you so much for your time.
Good morning.
So we need to start with how she entered the stage. She walked out to this classic from the M People. How did that set the scene for what followed?
Well, in a way, the conference slogan, which I think is Get Britain Moving or something like that, set the scene for the music. The two things went together. And her speech was entirely or critically about economic growth. So all that did sort of mesh with each other. This was a really critical moment for her. The leader's speech is the climax of the Conservative conference, after which everybody goes home. And a lot was riding on this, especially on the negative side. If it had gone wrong, that would have been a disaster for her because her position is really pretty fragile at the moment. It was not a disaster. She'll never be a great speaker, but she got through it okay. She got a warm, I wouldn't say ecstatic, and perhaps rather sympathetic reaction from Conservative delegates, the party activists. And she leaves with a number of her nine lives, I think, still there. She got away with it.
What was her key message for the conference?
She repeated it three times. Growth, growth, growth. And this is the difficulty that she and the government are in. They want to cut taxes, all kinds of taxes. In order to do that, they have to say where the money is going to come from. They say the money is going to come from growth, economic growth. And of course, if we get good economic growth, they're promising 2.5%. We haven't had anything like that for decades. But if we get a good economic growth, that will pay for the tax cuts. The trouble is that we haven't got the growth yet. So how do we pay for the tax cuts? Do we borrow it? The thought that we might have to borrow it has sent the Bank of England into a spin, who have raised interest rates. People's mortgages are now going up. And so she just keeps saying that the government will somehow balance the books. And one of the ways that it's being hinted she wants to do it is to cut welfare benefits, not old age pensions, lots of people that are conservative, but welfare benefits. And this is wreaking havoc within the Conservative Party, the centre of the party, the centre left, just think that would be a brutal thing to do while you're cutting taxes.
Sorry, you're getting a little phone noise. I don't know if you're moving your phone. But just on that issue, that really divisive issue, why are her senior party colleagues so divided on that issue in relation to welfare? And how, what kind of impact is that having among voters at the moment?
Well, old age pensions go up by the rate of inflation, and welfare benefits have always, for the poorest, have always gone up by the rate of inflation. And she is cutting taxes. She is cutting the cap on bankers' bonuses so that they can get as much as they like. She's cutting corporation tax. Big companies will have to pay less. And so to do this on the back of cutting benefits for the poor looks, to most of the country and quite a few Conservative MPs, like a step too far. And so they've started speaking out. Some of her cabinet colleagues, Penny Mordaunt, has been speaking out. Sir Robert Buckland, the former Justice Secretary, speaking out. And James Cleverly, the Foreign Secretary, has slapped them all down. They're fighting like weasels in a sack at the moment.
If Liz Truss has members of her cabinet, as you say, arguing openly over her proposals, is that a sign she's lost control?
Yes, it does look as though she is losing control, and she had hoped with this speech perhaps to stamp her authority. I don't think she's done that, but she looked reasonably confident, and she's got through to the end of today. But today is not the end of the matter, and it's just going to get more and more awkward, I think, as the days go by.
Is the problem, as your colleague Lord Daniel Finkelstein writes in the Times, that the Tory party seems to want to be at war with as many people as it can find? Metropolitan elites, young people, the Treasury, big business, people who work from home, the International Monetary Fund, the civil service, the BBC. It's quite the column.
Yep, and the Office for Budget Responsibility. And in her speech, she has conjured up this spectre. She calls it the anti-growth coalition. Basically, people who don't want to do what she wants to do because she wants more economic growth. The trouble with the anti-growth coalition, it includes most of those people. The Bank of England is arguably in it. The Office for Budget Responsibility is in it. The International Monetary Fund. She just mentioned the left, the loonies, the crazies, the people who stick themselves to pavements with glue, the greenies and all the rest. Well, yes, they're part of it, but her big problem is the part she didn't mention is her own party. They're not anti-growth, but they do think that the desire for growth needs to be balanced with fairness, with justice in the way the benefit system is run.
The polls are not good for the Prime Minister, and that's being polite. In less than a month as leader, they indicate that Sir Keir Starmer's Labour Party would win a general election by a landslide. What do the Tories need to do now to stop that happening, or is it too late?
Yeah, the Tories have dropped by about 33%. I think probably all they can do is murmur that polls go up and down and they may change. But ironically, this is actually quite helpful to Liz Truss in that no Conservative wants a general election just at the moment. They would probably be slaughtered if they had a general election now. So challenges to her leadership, though I believe they are going to take place, are rather muted by the fact that people think, yeah, can we really change Prime Minister twice between general elections? Well, they got rid of Boris and got her, now get rid of her too. It would be difficult to resist the argument for a general election, though I think it could be resisted.
Yes, you'd certainly step up the churning of prime ministers that we've done in our own country. Yes, here in Australia. Yes. If you were to change two prime ministers in one term, hats off if you can pull that off. So tell me about the logistics there, because in fact, the rules are, I understand, in the Tory party that it's a year till you can actually even do it. Would there be any appetite to change the rules?
Yeah, the rules allow members of parliament to call for a vote of no confidence in the party leader. But they used that not a year ago, not many months ago, so they can't do it for nearly another year. On the other hand, those rules can be changed. The rules are determined by what's called the 1922 Committee, which is a committee of all backbenchers in the parliamentary party, and they can change the rules overnight if they want to. And I suspect that simply the threat that they were going to change the rules and hold this vote of confidence, which she might very well lose, might be what they would hope would persuade her to stand aside.
Thank you so much for your analysis this morning, Matthew.
Pleasure.
Matthew Paris is a columnist with the Times newspaper and a former Conservative MP.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.